Off the ball, GAA.
Haven't beaten them in the championship since 2008, I think. So, you know, it's a fair long time. So, obviously, like, it's not going to be so much on the day, but the preparation that we do between now and then. So,
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Oh, he's back, baby. Two-time father, Colin Bowie. Congratulations, Colin. How are you?
Thanks, sir. Hi, well, how are you?
Welcome back.
Thanks very much.
They missed you, buddy. So did we. Sorry, I should have stressed that.
The amount of comments we got, there was, I say, theories going around as to what happened to you. They ranged from, we got rid of you. They ranged from, me and you hate each other, which I'm not going to discount straight away. And potentially even that we murdered you, which I don't think, looking at you now, I don't think that happened. What really happened was you became a father again.
A series of stuff, bad stuff happened to the various teams you support. And that was, people were like, oh, Colin's not coming back because X, Y, Z happened. But the gag wore thin as, you know, your team's improved.
Yeah, it was nearly a remarkable weekend there, you know. But who had the crown of the best dual county in the country? And it's a tie between Cork and Galway.
Oh, yeah, of course. They both crashed out. How are you?
I'm well.
Yeah?
Yeah. How's everything been?
Everything's been good, yeah. There's a lot of love for you immediately in the comments.
How's this guy over here?
And is flying it.
You know what this is not? And then myself's debut on air together. You know this? You know this.
I know, yeah. It.
But what, at the end of the first iteration of Off the Ball, he hosted a little show called Team 33. Do you remember that? Do you remember those days?
I do.
That was good. And here he is now. It's mad seeing him in person, because I've been seeing him on YouTube sporadically, but I haven't seen him in person in ages. It's all been over WhatsApp, you know. And it's great to see him.
So you started the week after you left.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah, yeah.
He decided to take a couple of weeks off before he had the baby.
It's, you know, it's important work for the man.
Mm.
Got to be physically fit to do it.
Yeah, you know, you do, yeah. Won't regret that time off. Also the illness. But yeah, it's true. yeah, it's, that's very true, yeah. So look, I'm going to put it out there straight away. Don't take much notice to what I'm saying over the next few weeks, if it's libelous, particularly.
Sorry, that is very important to get out there. We have that on the record there. If anybody intends to sue us, we have that banked for the lawyers. Hey, look. Colin was a bit tired and emotional.
There is, that does happen. And
not in the Dunphy way.
No, actually, no, this is kind of all natural. Yeah. So it could happen. And I just want to put that out there first, in case we get into like muddy waters, because you just don't know what's going to happen, really, in terms of what day of the week it is, where I am exactly, and all that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it is the first day of Wimbledon. Flying Hellfish 99. Welcome back, Colin. On the first day of Wimbledon and all. And then he also goes on to say, also, Chinatown is available on the Aer Lingus flights to the US. Took Jer's Wreck, phenomenal film.
Mm.
There you go. He's won us both over.
Oh, I couldn't get into it when I was watching it. It's so odd. Such an odd film.
What? Sorry. What?
No, I was a little bit hungover when I was watching it. So there's mistake number one.
I'll give you one more chance.
Yeah.
You try that again sometime in the full of your health, where you've nothing else to do and there's no phones. And if you still can't get into it after that, then you don't speak to me again.
It also wasn't the best quality. Yeah, it wasn't the best quality version of it I found either.
Ah, now, Enda. It was a 1973 bootleg recorded on a Steadicam.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, don't do that. Don't do that.
And I feel like there's been so many parodies of that exact trope of Chinatown, or like so many, like I'm pretty sure that there's been several iterations of comedy shows making their own like spoof of Chinatown that I wasn't able to take it seriously when I was actually watching the real thing unfold. So
you've just damaged our relationship terribly here. I didn't realize this. I didn't know this about you. Yeah, anyway.
I'll give it another chance.
Alright, okay. Better save the rest of the show today. No pressure. It's 7:35, will we get straight into it?
Yeah, sure.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Oh, plenty, yeah.
Any other questions?
Loads. So many. Honestly, so many.
Yeah.
Honestly, genuinely,
across,
yeah.
GMAC there.
Huh?
So many questions
to choose from, so we could just do none of them. And I suppose we'll do the performance rankings.
The good.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad.
I'm scratching my head. The performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber.
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Wow, what a weekend. Huh?
Yeah, incredible
good
weekend.
Good games, like, you know, the three of the four quarterfinals were pretty good. Pretty good.
I think if you were a Cork fan, it was a good game for 45 minutes and then it's kind careers
of
off.
Wastes so many opportunities, you know. It kind of speaks to Cork. So they did it in the Munster final against Kerry where they were just a bit limp. And they go up and they beat Donegal when no one's looking.
Yeah.
And they go and do this. So there is potential there.
There is also the bit where they'll always be the backdrop to Kobe's outside of the boot two-pointer.
Yeah, and then Kobe's...
you might not like see very much of.
Basketball style hand pass around a fella or over a fella and catches it on the other side. But it's funny because that Kobe two-pointer, right before that, Tommy Walsh had a bad wide for Cork, one of many bad wides. So there was like a three-point swing right there where Cork would have gone 4 points up if Tommy Walsh converted that. And then Kobe does what he does, you know. So it's funny, even the analysis of the game, it was just it's very much talking about Mayo rather than Cork.
Except in the Examiner, I got to tell you. Yeah, it was like...
But it's people just waiting for this weekend. But it's just a weird one for Cork because I suppose they had a half-decent year. But it's all a bit mad at the same time.
I think that teams like Cork need progress and Division 1 football next season and beating Donegal on the road is a real sign of progress. And it can be easy to be like, oh, the new manager is going to come along and fix things. But actually, they should stick with what they have and continue to develop. Progress comes really slowly for teams like that. Mm. It's not going to be a burst of a year. Like even Louth have been building. If you think that Gavin Devlin was part of Mickey Hart's setup, that's multiple years that they've been investing time and effort and money. And Devlin, obviously in the background, has been, his fingerprints are on the underage system there. So like while a load of those players look like they've come on the scene overnight, and some of them are absolutely sensational at 22, they're like, yeah, it looks like they're playing with 70 years experience. They're ballers. I think Cork need to stay the course.
Sometimes it's exponential growth then after those years. Like you've years of very slow building and you seem like you're not really getting anywhere, and then exponentially you grow like louder than the last 2 years.
It's a series of aggregations of small
things. It's funny because see, hurling's taking a bit of a bashing at the moment for its lack of competition in the quarterfinals and all that. But the football is extraordinary, really. So many contenders. Like, three of the four provincial winners weren't in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
This is the first time since 2016 that there's no Ulster team in the semifinals?
No Ulster team. Three of the four not in the last eight. And that's excluding also Donegal and Mead. It's remarkable depth. And then with the last four, could you see any of the four reach the final? There'd be no surprise. Whatever final pairing there is, there's no huge surprise.
I think if Kerry go out, it's still a big surprise, right?
If Dublin beat Kerry,
I think, look, I don't know. I mean, you'd be mad to back against the rolling ball of knives that is this Dublin team. You know, Ger Brennan comes back and suddenly they're unstoppable. And the quality of footballers that they have are all-time greats. Like, they still have five or six all-time greats stitched to the team. So, and also the pick of lads they have who are 23, 24, who've been doing that strength and conditioning that the senior team have been doing for multiple years, and they're coming into a setup where the culture seems to be pretty good. All that stuff. Like, but Conn, you know? I mean, look, I'd still be pretty surprised if Kerry don't win this year's All-Ireland, given the quality of footballer they have. But Tyrone definitely showed a bit of a template for how to get at them.
Mm. We start so backwards here. So Dublin Galway is set. So Dublin by 4 points. It was remarkable, right? Like bang on 55 minutes, the clock stopped. And Dublin had 15 minutes to turn around a 6 point deficit. They did it remarkably fast. Within 4 minutes, they halved that deficit. And then the controversy, I suppose if you want to call it, that happens. Liam Silk sees a black card. For the foul was a Basquel, and then it's upgraded to a penalty. But Galway then could have had a penalty. Like it's a real turnaround. And like these two have played each other, is it twice? So last year, the year before there was a point in it. It's a great rivalry, Dublin Galway. Not exactly that we talk about it as a great rivalry, but it is. This is an incredibly close game, but I thought that Galway were going to run away with this with a quarter of an hour to go. Miles ahead at that time. But I suppose 6 points these days is nothing.
Well, it's nothing if you can control the game, and they couldn't.
Can you level this against Galway at the moment that are under par quality, or par choice. They really can't see it out when it comes to it.
Long, hard winter for Galway, asking themselves questions and pointing the finger at themselves. They're very upset with the refereeing. I think there's probably, you can make the case that it didn't look like a goal-scoring opportunity because of covering players, but I think that like somebody beats a man and is running forward, if you don't get stopped, you know, it's much easier to jink inside one of those players. I still think it was a goal-scoring opportunity, and the rules are that it's a penalty, right? So whether the rule is a good rule or not, it's a different question.
Well, you see, that's probably what I would question is that would we even need this rule if referees applied the black card correctly in the first instance of the black card? Because they didn't.
No, everybody bottles black cards. Exactly. And especially at this stage of the championship, you're like, well, hang on a second, it's June. It's not black cards anymore.
I find it bizarre that you get double jeopardy because the punishment is the black card. It's a foul, it's a black card, challenge, deliberate pull down. I don't understand why it's upgraded to a penalty.
Because it's a goal-scoring opportunity. That's the rules.
No, I know it's the rules, but I don't know if I necessarily agree with the rule. I think like previously this was a black card challenge and it wasn't applied. Now it is being applied and you also have an added jeopardy of giving away a penalty. I'm not sure that's necessarily fair.
And with 10 minutes left to go in the game, it's essentially a red card. It was a seminal moment in the match, and then the penalty nearly gets saved and squirts in. It's like
such an unsatisfying penalty. He was very casual, as you probably would be if you were Conor Callan, to be fair, but it went over the line twice.
It was so annoying to watch that penalty go in the way it did. You can never really truly celebrate that penalty the way it went in. But it's a better bit of result, of course. The turnaround is something else, isn't it? After the Leinster final for Dublin. Written off. So this is like a good lesson in life, right? If you're down, you might not be down forever. Gerard Brennan was gone for 12 weeks. Look at him now.
Is that front a pep center, talk for yourself?
Front and centre for everybody and for you. Keep your head up when you're struggling in this job. Like, keep it up, right?
Well, I mean,
just like Gerard Brennan did. And look at him now.
You missed it, but we were debating, like, is it better to have your best players out injured for most of the year until you actually need them? So it almost looks like it might be better to have your manager missing for the best part
of the
year.
They'll all be pushing strength and conditioning coaches next year. I'm sick of that Dublin crowd. But they're up there set dancing like twice a week with all these set dancing.
Like, he was missing. I do wonder how much influence he actually had.
I clearly had such a,
you know what I mean?
He clearly had massive influence, really, because like Dublin, no offence to Dublin throughout the year, they were terrible.
But he
like there were stages where we were questioning, like we're talking about now these younger players that are adding up adding to the older statesmen of this Dublin team. We were talking 3 or 4 weeks ago about how Dublin don't have a conveyor belt of talent coming through, and now we're chatting about how they do.
I never bought
and
that, but anyway,
it just
on,
seems
yeah.
that like Jared Brennan clearly has had a massive impact coming back into this team.
But there's a calmness about them. You would also point out that Ocuffy Byrne and Conn have been fully fit essentially since he's come back, which, you know, if you
that helps
compare and contrast the team from the game against Wicklow in Aughrim to the team and the level of fitness that they have. So Dublin obviously in a glimmering green, and Galway in a horrible dark red. This is hello darkness, my old friend, for the Galway supporters. Mm. You know.
All right. What colour do you want to give Monaghan here? Is this an out and out red?
Yeah. Yeah. Monaghan will feel like they blew it.
So people who missed it, they had an extra man for the vast majority of this game. 64 minutes to be precise. And I suppose it was blown, but didn't have their goalkeeper slash their best player.
Oh, look, if they'd won that semi-final, the contenders for Footballer of the Year, there's actually about 6 or 7 of them, and 3 of them could have been Monaghan lads, the way that they've reached this stage of the competition. But they couldn't do it. And again, they're going to have a long, long bleak winter thinking we blew an opportunity to reach the semi-final to play Mayo, a Mayo team who, you know, you can get at that Mayo side. They have issues, and issues that do not match up well with Monaghan. Like, they've been conceding goal chances, and Monaghan, when they run a pace through the middle, create loads of goal chances. Oof. So fair play to Louth, because it was an epic. So Louth got a lucky break when Began wasn't playing, but then after that it's like they, whatever cosmic lottery they'd won in that moment, they coughed up that advantage 6 minutes in, and then they won the game playing outstandingly brave football. Like, I think that's the best managerial performance, the best team performance under the circumstances this year. You're a man down for 64 minutes in a game where you're not supposed to be able to win anymore against 14 against 15. It's like just supposed to be, even though obviously it did happen, Meath lost a game earlier this season as well. All things, like everybody played well.
Mm.
Every single one of them just decided to make up in the aggregate for the missing man.
If that game doesn't win Darren McDonnell an All-Star, I don't know what does. Best performance from an individual player all year.
Him and Scully are in the shout for Footballer of the Year alongside Clifford. I think Clifford's going to win it. Controversial thought there, I think.
Dylan Gainey
is who I think about. Clifford's 11-10 to win it now, in from about 4 or 5 to 1 earlier in the season. But Gainey's, Morris Brosnan has it, 17 shots, 17 scores in the championship this year.
Yes, yeah, flawless, yeah. Yeah, no, class, unbelievable. Like, allowed as well these last 2 years. So 1968 was the big year last year, wasn't it? For Leinster, 1957 this time around. With two different managers as well, different eras.
I know nothing about those teams.
The poster Brennan era.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, to be able to back up last year's success of what they've done now. I mean, look, like, is this... you could argue an enjoyable internal argument in Louth is like which year is more impressive, winning Leinster last year, get to the semi-final this year. It's TBC for this year, how far they can go, but they have a monumental opportunity here to reach the All-Ireland final.
I think they've the best chance possible to get to the All-Ireland final here. And I was pretty hot on Louth after their comeback this year, after they got beat by Dublin, and they came back and they got a good victory again. Was it Meath? Or who did they beat in the All-Ireland series? I can't remember. Earlier this year, they came back and I was like, God, Louther here to stay. Tommy Rooney wasn't having it. And then I just think this was a performance of the team that have everything that you need to go all the way in this iteration of the championship, with Darren McDonald dominating the midfield. It's all practically, like, unless you have the best kick-out strategy in the world, you're going to struggle against him. Obviously, Monaghan, we're missing the key man for that exact battle. Then you have Sam Mulroy, leader up front, and also two-point kicker, albeit he did miss a two-pointer that people were pointing out multiple times to him after the game.
He brought it up himself, to be fair.
He did.
I mean, that was like about 60 seconds. It was a bad miss, actually, for him, for a pair of his quality.
I had to rewind that. I assumed that it was... I was like, yeah. Hang on, the scoreboard didn't change there. What?
Yeah, yeah. Paddy White. Listen, should we hear from the camp here?
Yes.
All right. So we'll go to Kieran Byrne first, because Kieran, he came off the bench and he had a phenomenal performance. Scored a couple of very key points near the end, including like a sensational point. It goes into the inside forward line. Sam O'Roy gets an awkward ball. He picks it off the ground, soccer style, flicks it up to himself. Makes his way out to Kieran Byrne, sticks it over the bar. It's an incredible point. And he was speaking to Jonathan Higgins after the game.
It's absolutely special. As you said, we haven't been in a semi-final in so long, and this group's been through the brink of it. Like, we started 5 years ago, this whole system, and we've come through the stages, Division 4, Division 3, and climbed our way back up. And look, we started off today with a red card in the first couple of minutes of the game, and we showed our grit and stayed in the game for as long as we could. And we knew if we could stay in the game for as long as we could, that Monaghan's legs would probably get a wee bit tired after that break. So, look, special times.
It's remarkable, though, because that red card so early in the game, we've seen it in high profile games, maybe the Kerry Donegal game stands out, where a red card can allow, with the modern rules, the game just to flip one side. You found a way to always stay there.
Yeah, and this team does. We've been challenged, as I said, for the last 5 years, and we always find a way out of it. And look, we took our chances when it was important, like coming down the stretch there, last 15 minutes of the game, and I'm not too sure if we kicked many wide, so it's important to step up in them moments, and lucky enough we did.
What do you put that down to, that unbelievable raw strength and character and everything.
It's a bit of belief, I suppose. Mickey and Gavin started this a long time ago, and within the four walls, we believe that we can compete against any team in Ireland, and we're starting to show that. And I think teams are starting to, I suppose, maybe respect that within Ireland. So hopefully, we can push on now and go that one step further.
Talk to me about your own journey. Gavin said you had a lot of injury problems at the start of the year and had to, I suppose, take a step back to go forward. How's that been for you?
Yeah, it's been very, very frustrating. I think it's been well documented that my career has been riddled with a lot of injuries. I've had three probably real serious injuries, two ACLs and a fracture on my ankle. So at one stage, I suppose, football probably was going to be put on the back burner and I suppose get on with life. But I never really hesitated in that. I always wanted to, I suppose, get back to these stages and help out with the team as much as I can. And I suppose in the last couple of games, to get a chance to go out and Croke Park. And look, if you can't play football on these days, you may pack it in anyway. So look, it's very special to be part of this group. And as I said, hopefully we can continue.
Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing stuff. I'm delighted for them.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Brilliant win.
Why are you laughing?
I know, it's funny when you hear an Irish person say that.
I'm being sarcastic.
I'm just delighted for you.
No, because they brought it up in the aftermath of the game about Mulroy. And he was on the BBC social with Niblock and Oisin, and we got him on like 2 weeks afterwards. Yeah, and he was like, no, I absolutely stand by it.
Yeah,
I'm not standing back off that. I do not regret it. And I would say that's part of the same movement that the athletes all had in Paris. It's like, fuck you, we're here.
Yeah, he was great.
We're here to stay. We actually have ambition. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's great. There's a brief digression. That day he talked about players should be in some way looked after, expense-wise or financially.
Oh, yeah, that made press.
That got around a bit, didn't it? But like, he's a big voice for that. Again, he was fabulous yesterday. All right, so Monaghan, they'll be kicking themselves here. It's a purely because of having the one-man advantage, despite not having their goalkeeper.
Yeah, they still had enough opportunities.
You know what I mean?
They had enough. They just...
It's a great chance for them. Like last year,
the way the draw worked out as well, like they would have backed themselves against Mayo as well.
Last year they had Donegal, didn't they? In the same stage, quarterfinals. And I think they were doing all right by half time against Donegal. That was... Yeah, they were hammering their star in my ear. And that's right. And then the second half, Donegal took over. And there's no shame there. Turned like Donegal getting to the final and all that. Oh, that was a big opportunity for them yesterday. But for Louth, look, it's about Louth, just like it's about Dublin against Galway, I suppose.
Yeah.
So it's green and red.
We do have some Gabriel Bannigan to use here, since it's the last time we'll see him in the dugout for this year so far for Monaghan. So he was speaking in the aftermath to the press in the press conference after the game, and basically asked about the impact of Rory Began pulling out. He was obviously named to start in this game, but he pulled out of the game through injury, and why his side fell short in this game.
He was too uncomfortable, so he definitely wasn't going to be able to play no matter many painkillers or what strap we put on him. So he was out as well. So look, both of them weren't confirmed until then. But obviously we were planning without both of them all week, but when you talk about all week, you've one training session. That's what you have in a tight turnaround. So,
That period, Gabriel, just before half-time or probably just after half-time, there's obviously the big two-pointer on the Hooter. Then they get a couple of scores afterwards. It felt like the game swung a little bit towards Louth in that period.
Yeah, and it certainly gives them a hell of a lift going in at half-time. 100% right. And yeah, and I'd be very disappointed that we let Downey have that get that shot away just before halftime. Very disappointed.
That it's been talked about a lot, but 3 weeks on the bounce and then combined with the challenges that you had, it's a bad combination from a modern perspective.
Yeah. Again, and the reason I'm not saying that is because I don't want to make excuses. We had 3 games in 14 days, and that certainly takes it out of teams. Like, I heard Jack O'Connor talking about it yesterday, and that's Kerry and the depth of their squad, and they almost got caught yesterday. So, but we all know the rules of the competition at the start of the year. If you're beaten in the first or second round, you're going to be playing 3 weekends in a row. If you make a quarter final, so we just needed to get over the line here today, try to get the result, and hopefully have one or two of those buys back that we were missing, but we didn't manage to get over the line, so unfortunately we're not going to get to see if we could bring it in the semi-final when we had 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah, Bannigan sort of echoing similar enough to what Jim McGuinness was saying, that, you know, with the rolling games, very hard to prepare for these games. obviously Monaghan had a tighter turnaround again for this game than Egal did, but yeah, it was a difficult one that Rory Beggan was missing. Like, that completely impacts Monaghan. He's one of their star men, but look, again, not taking away from Darren McDonald's performance, because he was phenomenal.
You have to respond, and the 14 men is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Sean O'Callaghan's red card, by the way, there was, look, I thought it was a red card when I saw it initially.
Did he hit his head?
Yes, he jumps as well. He jumps as well, which I think is the killer for him. I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a big hit.
Chris O'Jones got taken out the exact same way.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Chris O'Jones, Stephen Cohen makes the almost identical challenge in the Mayo game.
The difference was that the ref deemed that O'Jones had got his shot away. So the play is almost irrelevant according to the ref's justification, because he was
the ball
outraged.
Was gone in this challenge as well.
Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty of inconsistencies in the refereeing over the weekend.
There's a different, I don't know if it's even psychological, is that the ball was gone in the Louth Monaghan game. The ball was gone in the Cork Mayo game because it was a shot that went over, which I think is cross sport thing, is if you get your shot away, it doesn't matter what's done to you.
Fair game.
Yeah, which is
I don't know,
I think that's always been a grey area in sport. But he was taken out of it, he was outraged, and so were the Cork players.
The inconsistency of the refereeing is actually a little bit sport tragic over the course of the weekend. I think Tyrone will be like, really? Honestly?
Mm.
You telling me that? That's how it works? The 45, the various instances that went against him. And I know, I see all the, shut up. I'm like, all right, yeah, okay. But like, it's okay for the rest of us. I'm a total neutral in that. Tyrone, very... unfortunate.
Are they the only ambiguous colour in the performance rankings?
Yeah. Can I just one thing? Division 2 of the Allianz Football League next year, Cavan and Derry down, and then it's Dublin, Louth, Monaghan, Tyrone and Wexford. Dublin, Louth, Monaghan and Tyrone, four proper teams. Cavan, it's going to be a long hard year for you lads. Anyway, go on.
They played very well. I mean, like, were they completely written off here going into this game?
Tyrone.
Yeah.
Well, look, we were pointing out that they got the closest of the teams from the quarterfinal on last year, 6 points only, played really well against Kerry, just got a little bit beaten around midfield, in the first half, fixed it. Darren McCurry
off the bench.
Points per minute. Is he the footballer of the year?
Outrageous.
Like, it was insane levels.
It's funny because Jack O'Connor talked about it afterwards, about preparing for him.
He does it against Kerry. It's not like...
prepare for him.
Oh, he comes off the bench and he scores 10 points in a preliminary quarter final against a Division 3 team. It's like, no, this is the All-Ireland champions. And like, they know how to use the dark arts when they need to.
I'd be flirting between amber and red here for Tyrone.
Let's not rank them first. Let's take a little bit of Darren McCurry, because Tommy was speaking to him.
It was brilliant, yeah.
After the game here. And look, he was obviously very disappointed. Obviously a weird... game for him as well, coming on, scoring 10 points. There's this weird feeling of, I could have started this game, but also I did phenomenal off the bench. And also speaking a little bit about his future as well. So here's Tommy Rooney speaking to Darren McCurry after the game in Croke Park.
Sometimes in the day you just need a wee bit of luck or a couple of decisions to go your way, and I felt today we didn't get them. And to get over a big team like Kerry, you need them decisions to kind of go your way. And
what do you mean in the middle of your purple patch?
Yeah, just a couple of decisions, maybe... I don't like pointing out referees and stuff, but there's just a couple of decisions there, and maybe I think we're a wee bit naive when there was a point in it, we went man to man on the kick out, and that cost us, because they bunched and then they blocked, and you can't need to go zone in the kick out if you're looking to win that ball. I think man to man's very, very hard to get that kick out, you know, and try and put them long, and they went short in the last two kick outs, and that's ultimately how they won the game.
New game has allowed attacking football to come back, and we're seeing a lot of forwards flourish. We saw some savage shooting exploits today from the Mayo forwards, from the Kerry forwards, from yourself and Owen McInerney, put up some super scores in that second half. You're on it, or you have been on it in the last couple of games. How has that felt? Because I'm sure you'd love to start, but you're coming into games and having an unbelievable impact the last couple of weeks.
You know, I said maybe 2 weeks ago, you know, it's been a tough year, battling injuries all year, and something I wasn't used to in my whole career. I kind of was lucky I was injury free, and see that not being able to train and being in pain to train, and then having to take like an naproxen to be able to play and train, that's something I wasn't used to, and it's been a struggle. And you know, as every player does, like, you doubt yourself. And thankfully, I came in 2 weeks ago, and I felt that I was a good place, and I played in a nice game last week. And again, I felt I was sharp and ready. But listen, I was happy to do whatever Malachy wanted me to do. Be an impact start, it didn't really matter.
You've a lot of young footballers coming through, a couple of older boys as well. You know, Matty Donnelly took his time at the end of the game there. You hardly feel like you're finished after putting on a show like that.
Listen, I suppose, like, some Matty and stuff owes nothing to throwing football. He's put his life on hold for 15 years, same as number one, Niall, myself, and a couple of other boys. So you never know when the time is over, when the time's right to leave. Listen, it's a massive commitment. I have a young family there now, and as I said, this year has been a struggle. You know, as I said, you doubt yourself. You start to say, do I still have it anymore? Thankfully, I showed I still do have a wee bit in me. But listen, it's early yet. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I really hope he comes back, and I really hope it did sound like Matty Donnelly was saying his goodbyes at the end yesterday. But maybe they can convince him to have one of those off seasons like Shane O'Donnell had a couple of years ago, and try and get them back. You think that the two Canavans weren't available for Tyrone this weekend? I don't think Tyrone are anywhere near red whatsoever. I think that when you think about the mood music around the start of the season, the supporters had kind of wandered away from the team and weren't that interested in them, and they weren't able to set. I think next year Tyrone are going to be roaring back and will be like two or three, depending on how the rest of the season goes, in the pre-season performance rankings.
We'll give Amber here.
Yeah.
For Kerry, needless to say what colour they are. Love the way that they retained possession in that final play.
Hey, a bit of Amber.
I loved it.
A touch of Amber. Touch of Amber about Kerry. Oof.
I don't think so. I didn't feel that they were bad.
I just, a lot of players, their midfield wasn't as good as it could be. Look, Sean O'Shea got football into him, but we'd like to see him back to being Sean O'Shea. I think obviously that all the inside forwards, but in particular Dylan and David. I think David was pretty good. I think, you know, people are taking for granted the...
Just stuck over another 1-8.
And it's also killing the game when it needs to. It's like taking the fisted points when he needs to.
Taking his man on the inside and outside.
Yeah.
When he wanted to.
Yeah, I think we're kind of like, he was grand, wasn't he? It's like, no, he was sensational.
That brings his tally to...
980. This year.
So was it 872 before this? 980 now. Dylan Guinea with 8 points. One player I want to give a special shout out to when it comes to Kerry. He's been phenomenal all year. Probably gone under the radar a little bit. Well, maybe he's been, I'd say, a key talking point in terms of whether he should start or not. Gavin White. He was sensational again. Like, he adds that element. Kerry are a kicking team. Gavin White is the legs and the running element of this Kerry team, and he can just carve teams open whenever he wants. He's a shoo-in for an all-star based on his performances so far this year, depending on what Kerry go on to do. But like, it can't be underestimated the impact that makes when you've got a player who can spring a surprise on you. Because like, there's an element of, you know, Dylan Guinea, you kind of know what he's going to do. The problem is stopping him from doing it. Whereas Gavin White, he can kick it and he can carry it, and he can maintain possession, and he's a calm head. He's almost the controller in this Kerry team when he sets the pace from the half-back line forward. And I thought Tyrone really struggled to keep tags on yesterday.
Yep, sensational.
So next, what are we saying?
Green.
Green for Kerry?
Touch of Amber, but go on.
I agree. Mayo, is it Amber because they're going to lose... his boy.
Every second of love that they have is...
They have another boy as well, who looks about 12, who played like an adult. Darragh Byrne.
Yeah.
He looks about 12, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like it's sensational watching this kid. And then also Kobe.
And look, I think Andy Moore deserves a massive credit for... He just said that.
Oh, did you say it?
That's the difficulties of having to produce in that chair. Colm knows this all too well, and he's, you know, you've forgotten. Eating bread, soon forgotten.
I know, 2.5 years.
Long, long, grueling years, yeah. As it was. Look, I think credit to Andy Moran for the job he's done to get them to this stage. Like, He was lampooned after the Roscommon game in many quarters. But the style of play is, it's worked out for them and they'll feel pretty confident. And of all the teams that are going to progress by virtue of these wins and the crowds coming back, like, you know, the Mayo ones will all be at the game against Louth. And they'll all have been at all the games all season. And everybody wants to see Kobe play.
Is he the first superstar to be introduced and bid an emotional farewell in
at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if he's definitely
going. If he's going to have
we
this.
We do, yeah. 100% we know he's going.
Yeah, we sure we do.
No, there's no doubts. What do you...
Do you have
there's literally, I'm telling you, there's literally no doubts. As the information that we've heard is that all sorts of records have been broken in Australia so that they can secure a signature, and that this move has been prepared for many years. Kobe is going. Make no bones about it. There's nobody in Mayo who will be able to turn his head because everybody has tried.
Mm. He'll be back though, won't he?
Don't know. That's what they always say.
Depends how good life is to him in Australia. And life in Australia can be very good.
That, like... So many of our best players have gone and actually go on for a couple of years and then a new contract. Like, look at the athleticism. You know, look, baby doesn't make it there.
But he's only a kid. Like, he could come back and then he could go again. He could come back. Like, he's so young. He could be part-time Mayo player for this whole year.
Maybe that's the model, is that you can come back for a couple of seasons, win your All-Ireland and go back again.
They take him. I mean, look, he's already done enough. He always banked himself to be involved whenever he wants to. But it's funny, like, don't remember this happening to anybody else, that he's welcomed with such open arms. But this player is almost like, looks like the finished product. Obviously, there's stuff to work on. Looks like the finished product as a kid. And he's going. You already have a little montage of him. You already have enough content for best bits.
Definitely.
And he's just been in the door.
But I don't think there's any doubt that everybody needs to enjoy these. However, is it 70? Is it 140 minutes of game time we have left to watch him? Because he's not coming back.
That 2 points he scored, right? That one, that swing I talked about earlier. Everyone's comparing it to his dad, but this exact same body shape and technique as well. Like, and someone's going to do that montage, that video of seamlessly transitioning from father to son back and forth again, just a bit like Kobe himself with Mayo, back and forth. That's the prediction.
All four of the sides in the semi-final, there's an argument to be made. They were all below standard earlier on in the season. Like, the Mayo game against Donegal and Letterkenny earlier this year, like, that, I watched that game and I was like, God, Donegal are miles ahead of Mayo here. Mayo have some amount of catching up to do. And Andy Moran actually said something similar after the game, that was a game that he was like, there are levels to what we're doing here and Donegal are miles ahead. Similar enough, Louth beaten by Dublin, people writing them off. Dublin, obviously, we're not great. Kerry, we're missing a lot of players in the league, so that's slightly playing into that, but... I mean, they're four fine form at the right time.
Say a month ago now, the last time we saw each other, right? What were the likely four semi-finalists for you?
Donegal and Armagh were two of them.
Donegal and Armagh.
Now, it did obviously depend on draws.
Like, we carry.
Donegal,
draw whatever. And Galway was your fourth.
Once Donegal and Kerry got drawn against each other in the first round of the whatever that series is called, they couldn't meet again until the All-Ireland final. We were like, oh, looking forward to that. That'll be class. The trilogy. I mean, not including the league game, but...
You know, you say that would be class, it hasn't happened, but it hasn't taken anything away from your enjoyment of what's happening.
Well, I think that the Dublin revival has rescued that side of things, because if, say Kerry had blitzed Tyrone at the weekend and it was still Kerry plus the rest, there was an air of inevitability about it. But Kerry have come to Croker and somewhat underperformed against the Tyrone side, who are going to feel very vexed by... the refereeing, and suddenly we feel like the competition again. Because ahead of the Tyrone game, it felt like Kerry might just blitz everybody. They'd be a buzzsaw through the rest of the championship. That's not going to be the case.
So it's going to be a Kerry versus
Kobe
final.
Yeah, or look, the Dubs written off again, even after the weekend.
We text him, Andy Moore.
Oh yeah, I always text Andy.
So former Football Pod co-host Andy Moran speaking to Football Pod host Tommy Rooney here after the game as Mayo booked their place in an All-Ireland semi-final.
I think after 25 minutes, the last 10, not too oversimplified, I think the Meath game we did really well. I think we only conceded 6 points from about the 27th minute until the 17th minute. but we conceded way too much before that, and that was the issue. And yeah, I would feel that we're doing an awful lot of things well, we're just not doing them often enough. So I think today we were probably more secure through that. I thought McBrien was an absolute monster at six, if I'm being honest. We'd move Hesham back to the corner when McGrail went off, no complaints, no nonsense, goes in, does his job, was excellent. Thought Jack Coyne again today was third game in a row, thought he was excellent. So listen, it's coming along, it's getting there, but I think it's more the structure than the personality. No?
It's going to be a really good weekend. Are you going to be here tomorrow for the two semi-finals?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I can't tell you what the kids will be wearing tomorrow at that, but yeah. No,
I can tell you.
Yeah, we'll be here. And
Charlotte and Ollie have their Monaghan kids.
Yeah, so we'll be here, and but it's in a great position to be in. You're the first one out, you get to watch the second semi-final, we get the second half of it, and then we move on to tomorrow to the two other quarterfinals.
As a player, you were part of Mayo teams that got to All-Ireland finals, plenty of them. Sometimes it was early in your journey, sometimes it was at your peak. What an opportunity in front of this group right now.
That's the word for everyone. Obviously, Kerry are raging hot favourites. With everyone, if I'm being honest, but for everybody else in the competition, it's a huge opportunity. I think we're going through the eight teams last night, and I think Dublin and Monaghan obviously went from Division 1, was there three Division 2 teams, and there's only three Division, like the teams left in Division 1 left in it. Then that was before today. So it was just, I think everyone was just looking at it as this huge opportunity, and luckily we just got through today.
Golden ticket.
Yeah, you said that, no, not me.
That word was used, but as in, these are such opportunities. Like, what an exciting thing as a footballer to come into Croke Park and know that you have a chance. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant. And it's, but what a, like, it's the greatest stadium in the world, Tommy. Like, it's the best place in the world, if I'm being honest. And it's, like, as we hear the celebrations going on above us, like, it's the best place in the world to play football and to be part of. Like, you wouldn't want to be any other place.
Great stuff there from Tommy all weekend. That Saturday evening to Sunday morning podcast had all of the post-match reaction from the two games. And it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
Few honourable mentions here. Pico Lopez.
Ah,
I mean, come on.
Up against Messi.
Come on. I mean, he's made the Athletic now, you know. Daniel Taylor's done an article on him. He went to the Blanchardstown EBS, took a picture of it, went to a few establishments. That's where Pico worked as a trainee mortgage advisor. So it's gone global. We knew this early. Spoke with Zlatan, didn't he? Zlatan seems to recall the game in 2020.
Did he?
When his Milan side played Shamrock Rovers in Europe.
Right. Maybe Zlatan is like jazzy and as a photographic memory for everything that ever happened.
I don't know if he's being polite or whatever, if Pico ran him over or won him over, but he was nice to him.
Did you see the video of him on RT? Stephen Bradley?
Oh yeah.
Brings him up. That's great stuff. That's what the World Cup is about. That's that kind of stuff.
I can't get over how great the reception was. There was no background noise either.
Maybe
I couldn't get over how perfect that was.
So WhatsApp, is it?
Is he there at all?
It's like the moon landing.
Moon landing.
We didn't talk about this, but Phil Mickelson flexing a single bicep. If that's not an image to make you spit out your breakfast this morning and the rest, Phil's in the red. Whether or not this, I see people trashing the report. Alan Shipnock is a very good journalist, by the way. So, and he did point out how many legal minds had looked over.
He said it was the hardest he's ever worked.
There you go. He's a hardworking man. So.
Yeah. It's funny because click into this article, it's free to read for everyone.
Yeah.
It tells you 18 minute read. And 2026, that's a big endeavour for
people.
It
doesn't feel like it though.
No, it zooms by.
Well, because they do front load the good stuff.
It's all good. There's not a wasted paragraph.
Well, it's funny. I was.
Friend's ex wife.
I was waiting on a delivery and I was reading and I was about to leave the house and get a phone call. Says, I'll be here in 15 minutes. I'm like, perfect. I'll just finish what I'm doing here.
And you can beat the timer of 18 minutes too. Speed read it.
Well, there was three paragraphs in at that point, so.
That's all you needed. After that, it was
you were done your 3 minutes.
It was cherry on top stuff.
What? No, that was great stuff.
Yeah.
Super. And
fill in the red.
What else then? Oh yeah, Wimbledon starts today.
Wimbledon without Emma Raducanu.
Yeah,
to the point where the Telegraph, obviously, because they have a fetish for reporting on Emma Raducanu, is front page of the actual paper. Raducanu's ready, I'll play through the pain. By the time the newspaper had gone to print, she had pulled out.
Yeah, she got to the final at Queens as well, an injury ravaged. I suppose last 5 years, really, ever since she won the US Open, she was several coaches.
Stress fracture.
Stress fracture, indeed. Stress is her default setting in tennis, to be honest, the way it's working out for her. But she got to the final of Queens, which is upsetting. Yeah, it starts today. Djokovic, Sinner, no Alcaraz. That's a shame.
Also, two quick ones to mention.
Go for it.
So, Charlene Mosley, she made her debut in the Diamond League at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Set a new PB. Her fourth PB of the year, ran a 50.06 over 400 metres. So phenomenal stuff from Mosley, who seems to be going from strength to strength. And then another female athlete that did fantastically over the weekend was Fiona Murta. She won a silver medal at the World Rowing Cup in Lucerne. So she added to Izzy Clemens' bronze from earlier in the weekend on Saturday. So good return there for Irish rowers the weekend.
Very good.
That is the...
That's your performance rankings.